chapter 1 today, Acts chapter 1. Give you just a second to get there. Appreciate we combined this morning. We had a little surprise there. We got a junior choir, the kids choir. Randy's working with the kids over there. And then today we had a couple of people out, and Terry's voice was all ragged out. We had a few missing, and Randy didn't have as many as he usually has. And I said, hey, why don't y'all just come over and sing with us, and we'll just have one, you know, a group up there. Riley, I don't know what happened to you. You got stage fright and bailed out or something right there. Demerit goes on your record for that. But Philip met her. Philip stepped up. I said, oh, man. I said, don't say nothing. I said, Danielle going to fall over when she looks up and sees Philip up there. He said, I'm gonna go up there and give it a whirl. And so we appreciate him doing that. And, hey, you know, we have a good time at choir practice, and encourage you, if you can sing, sort of, you know, we would, we'll let you in, you know, so it's good. We meet at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, and we have choir practice. We make coffee, and after it's over, we go over and have a cup of coffee in that. And then we're trying to, you know, we haven't been singing in so long. You know, your voice gets kind of weak. I mean, we were practicing a couple songs that have a high roof to them, which is not my forte. And, anyway, we'll get back in the groove. I'm enjoying that. Hard to get used to in the morning, though. I'm used to that extra time. I was running around this morning, I got to get ready, man. Wasn't done. I usually shift my notes around. I had to do that when I got here. Sherry said that she was running around and said, I'm not used to getting ready at this time. I said, I know it. But once you get in the groove, everything's all right. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the Bible says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Heavenly Father, again, ask for your power, your presence today to speak to our hearts. And it's my prayer, as I said earlier already, that if anyone here lost, we pray certainly for their salvation today. We lift our country up to you today just for wisdom there. Be with the leadership of this country. Lord, we pray for those folks in Ukraine, everything they're having to go through now. We ask for protection for them, power for them. Lord, just pray your will be done there. And we'll put this service into your hands and all these requests. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message today is The Kingdom of God. And we see in verse 3, he said, speaking of the things, this was talking about what Jesus did, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so I want to talk to you today about that, this topic, you know, what things? What things did Jesus, and this was after the resurrection, that Jesus spoke to those disciples about the things that pertained to the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus said this. He said, verily I say unto you, that there shall be some of them that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. Now, let that roll around in your head just a minute. Jesus said this. This is before the crucifixion and the resurrection. That there shall be some that stand here which shall not taste of death till they have seen the kingdom of God come in power. We know right off the bat that he couldn't have been talking about the millennial reign, the kingdom of God. He couldn't have been talking about that, because those people that were standing there, that hasn't happened yet. And they were standing there in Jesus' day at that time. We know he wasn't talking about heaven for the same reason, because they couldn't see death. They would see the kingdom of God come in power before they died, before they would death. So the only thing that he had to be talking about, or what he is referring to there, he was talking about the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit of God fell on the 120 disciples that were present there at that time. And the kingdom of God will, the Bible says this, you know, thy kingdom come, the Lord's outline for prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It'll be done by who? The believers. See, the kingdom of God, here's where the kingdom of God is today. It's right here. It's in the heart of the believers. That's the kingdom of God he's talking about right there. The kingdom of God. There was some standing there that day. They would not die till they saw the kingdom of God come in power. The kingdom of God came down, and the kingdom of God right now, this day that we're living in, ever since the day of Pentecost, is in the hearts of the believers. Now we'll see. The millennial period will come. There'll be a king there, and there'll be a king, and there's a king on the throne in heaven even right now. We understand that. But the kingdom of God has to come to you who trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You receive the Holy Spirit. That's the power. And now Jesus as King rules and reigns in your hearts. That's the kingdom of God right there. You got everything, and I'm going to talk about those points as we go through this today. The things that Jesus spoke about concerning the kingdom of God. That's what I want to look at today. So the very first thing that we're going to see, we talk about if you have a kingdom, you have a king. The very first thing, every kingdom has a king. And this kingdom has a king as well. The first mark of the kingdom of God is that Jesus Christ is king. And he reigns on the throne in the believer's heart. That's the way it is. Not going to, not maybe, not perhaps. He doesn't rule and reign in the hearts of those that are just professing that they're a child of God or that they're saved. He rules and reigns. This is a fact. He rules and reigns in the hearts of those that are truly saved. This is it. Boy, this is a test right here. If you want a litmus test about your salvation, this is it. He rules and reigns. The first mark of the kingdom of God is that Christ is king. The external manifestations of this kingdom that we're talking about are seen in the lives of the believers. It's the only place it can be seen. It's the only place that it can be seen. The external manifestations of this kingdom is seen or are seen in the lives of the believers, the lives in those of whom he rules. The power of the kingdom, this kingdom, to the world is revealed to the world through the transformed lives of the saved people, the believers. This is it. This is what the world is seeing. This is what God wants to do with you and I. I mean, you understand that? I mean, that God wants to transform your life. It's not so you can just feel good. It's not so you can just, you know, you have all these people, the charismatics, man, they want the Holy Spirit to fall on so they can speak in another tongue and do something. And listen, the reason that the Holy Spirit falls on us is so that we can glorify God, that we can magnify God. You know what it means? One of the devotion books I read today, I think it might have been, I don't know if it was in the Daily Bread. If y'all read it, then you'll know. If it's not, it's in something else. Might be in something else. We talk about magnifying God. What does a magnifying glass do? It makes things easier to see. It makes them bigger, appear bigger. It reveals the fine details of whatever it is that you're looking at. That's what we're supposed to do. Magnify Jesus Christ. It makes those things clearer to see. How's it going to be done? This is what God wants to do with us. Those of us that are saved and those of us, or if you want to be saved, this is what God wants to do with you. He wants to transform your life so that the kingdom of God can be seen in your life and so that it has an effect or a powerful effect on those that are not in the kingdom of God. They will see that. So the first lesson that we must know that Jesus Christ as King dwells and rules in our hearts. That's the first thing that we have to do. We must know that we live in Him and by His power are able to accomplish all that He wants us to do. We can do that. I mean, that's what you have to know that. We can do everything that God wants us to do. Everything. Huh? Oh, preacher, I just can't witness to somebody. Lie, lie, lie. Yes, you can. You may not be able to do it, but Jesus Christ can do it through you. The power of God, you're limited in the power of God. That's nothing. That's nothing. I can't be faithful. Yes, you can. Huh? I can't quit this sin, that sin. I can't. Yes, you can. You got to believe, listen, the power, everything that God wants us to do, everything that He calls us to do. You got down there in verse 8, I'll read it here in a little bit. We got a commission right there. What's going to happen? You're going to receive power. You will be witnesses to me and to all the world. We'll see that. You know, you can do it by the power of God. This is what you have to understand that. You can know that. We must maintain a deep awareness that our King is crucified. Huh? This is a crucified King. What's that mean for us? Listen, even Jesus died to His own will. Not Jesus, not God, Jesus God. But Jesus the human, He died to His own will. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. A crucified king. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you got a crucified king, guess what he wants his subjects, which is the next subject, guess what he wants his subjects to be? Crucified as well, right? We have to understand we had a crucified king. Jesus didn't do His own will. He did the will of the Father. Why would we be any different? Why would He expect us to do any different? The cross is Christ's highest glory. Through it, He conquered every enemy. Every enemy conquered by the cross. And in the same way, and in this, we can conquer every enemy. Every enemy that we have. Every sin, you can group them up, but every, you know, unforgiveness, unlove, hate, envy, pride, lust, selfishness, every sin can be conquered and was conquered by Jesus Christ, and we put our faith and trust in Him, everything can be conquered. Paul had learned it when he wrote, "I am crucified with Christ, yet I live. Not I, but Christ lives with me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Paul had already learned that. He said, "This is it, man. I'm living, but it's not me that's living. I'm crucified with Christ." But then when Christ resurrected, I was resurrected with Christ, not my old life, but now the life of Christ. So we got this king. We've got a king. That's the very first thing about this kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's in the hearts of the believers on earth right now. That's where it will be today. And it all happened from Pentecost forward. This is the first step in the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The second thing is His subjects. His subjects. You know, when we get this stuff from, I get it from the, you know, we didn't know nothing about it until we watched some old movies with the knights and everything, and they had kings, and the people out there were called the subjects, you know, the people that were underneath the king. Every kingdom has subjects. What's the key for the subjects of the kingdom? What's the key? The very first thing is surrender. You know, in them old days, man, the king comes trotting along on his horse, carriage, entourage, whatever he had, probably military men. Listen, the king said, "Do this," you did it. Guess what if you didn't? Now, you'd probably get your head lopped off how they used to handle things. You did what the king said, right? You bowed down to the king. It was the king. The kings, and they got a lot more done. It was not a democracy. It was not a democracy. No. Listen, man, they didn't say, "Well, listen, we're going to vote on it. See how, you know, how it's going to turn out." No. Uh-uh. King just said, "This is the way it's going to be." And I'm going to tell you what, this kingdom of God is not a democracy either. Well, you know, we know what the Word of God says. Let's just take a vote, family. Let's just see if we decide we're going to do what the Bible says, what the Word of God says, the Word of the King says. Let's see if we're going to do that. No. No, in a kingdom, man, you did what the subjects did what the King said. So the very first thing is surrender. You think about those men that followed Jesus in his day and their ministry after Pentecost. Think about this. For the most part, they were uneducated. They were simple men. They had faults. They had failures. How were they able to preach in the power that they preached in? And to pray effectively and fervently, pray in the power that they preached in, prayed in. How were they able to do it? They clung to the Lord deeply, sincerely. They followed Him to His cross. That means what? That their lives were crucified with Christ. They understood that. See, this is the test. Have you indeed surrendered? This is it. There's no rebellion. There's no rebellion in a kingdom. I'm going to tell you what, in those days when they had kings and subjects, and there was no rebellion. If there was a rebellion, they squashed it. And I'll tell you how they squashed it. They killed it. That's it. They got rid of the rebels. There's no rebellion. Have you surrendered indeed to the King? Have you been crucified with Christ? Have you died to self? This is the test. Have you received the power of the Christ life in you? Because I'm going to tell you, see, all of the above, that anything that applies to us, we can't do without the power of the Holy Ghost in our life, the power of the Spirit. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't surrender, as a matter of fact, because we're too selfish. The second thing about his subjects are, when they were surrendered, the second thing, they were separated. One of the great characteristics of the disciples was that they were as separated from the world as Christ had been. He's separated from the world. They separated to Christ from the world. And they belong to another world. And it's a struggle. Man, I was telling you, I was sharing with Paul. I was down at the flea market yesterday. And I'm going to tell you what, man, I'm just getting like up to here with compromising with ungodliness. I'm just tired of it. Seen some guy walked up to some table and some guy standing there, you know, and he was raffling off something, and then he whips out to, he goes, "Hey, do you want a flag?" And he whips this flag out in front of me that said, blank Joe Biden, and it wasn't pray for him. And I said, real terse-like, I said, no, sir. I said, I don't want anything to do with it. And I turned away and I started walking. And there was another guy standing there, and I got a little bit away from him. And I heard it. He didn't think I could hear him. He said, he must be a Democrat. I said, no, sir, I'm not a Democrat either. I said, but I don't want that filth. I said, I don't want to see that. And the guy that had it, he was folding that thing up as fast as he could fold it up. He said, it ain't very Christian-like, is it? I said, it ain't Christian-like at all. Went on down the road, man. Huh? Hey, I can love him. I can lead him to the Lord and all that, but I don't have to smile and go, oh, yeah, you know, I don't want to. No, sir, man. I went around here, man. I saw a kid down there. Here, nice job, Mom and Dad, by the way. I'm down there at the Western Sportsman Show, whatever. 10-12-year-old kid. His parents done went over there to this anti-Biden booth and had his kid run around with a Let's Go Brandon sign tucked under his arm. Huh? Nice job, Mom. Nice job, Dad. Why don't you tell him what that means in the language that it means? Why don't you tell him that? Huh? Oh, yeah. And, you know, I can go on Facebook, and I can go out on my house when I get them nice sunsets every time there's any kind of clouds over in the sky, and I post me a picture of a sunset. I'll get 48 and 50 hearts and thumbs. And old Keith Wood down here, man, he wrote this up himself. He posted a thing about that Let's Go Brandon business. He said, I'm going to tell you something, man, Jesus would never say. And he said, and when we start talking like that, he said, as Christians, we have lost our way. And I said, amen, brother, and I shared that thing. You know how many likes I got? Huh? Put some old filth on there and you have 50 people like it. One like. Everybody else kept their yaps shut because they knew I was right. He was right. They didn't want to comment about it negatively, and they couldn't say nothing about it positively. Not nobody that's a child of the King. I'm going to tell you what, now you got that filth, we get an altar call, you better come down here and get that stuff under the blood. Because I'm going to tell you what, we're called to be separated from the world, not called to be like the world. Huh? And you get all your brain caught up in that. I don't agree with it. Nothing hardly that our president does. That don't mean I got to start talking like filth and innuendos and all that stuff, and put, what's the Bible say? The Bible says, I'm telling you what, you got to love him. Huh? You might not like that. You might gall you, but I'm going to tell you what, if you're a child of this King, and this King says that we got to love our enemies and love those that persecute us and love those that don't like us and hate us, I'm going to tell you what, you got to love him. That's just it. And if can you do it in your own strength? No. Huh? That guy's got a soul just like everybody else. He needs to be saved like everybody else. Do I agree with? I don't know if I agree with anything that he's done. Honestly. But that don't mean I gotta act like the world. I gotta talk like the world. Separated. That's what the Bible. I'm glad I got that off my chest. I feel a lot better already. It's a struggle. We got the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And all them things, listen, they rob you. You got this filth going on in your life, I'm going to tell you, you cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You are a dirty vessel. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. And then we wonder why we're powerless and we can't talk to anybody about Jesus. No, sir. You ain't going to have Let's Go Brandon in one mouth and then start talking about Jesus in the other and a flag flying with an obscenity posted on it in your front yard and then you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus. It ain't happening. It's not going to happen, and it's not going to be effective if it does happen. They rob us. It robs us of our ability to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, this world cannot receive the Holy Spirit of God. Mm-mm. No. Only us. Only the believers. Only the believers can receive and have received. So examine yourself. Let me ask you this question right here. Are you of this world? Are you of this world? No, the Bible says I'm in another world. I mean, y'all known that for years. I'm in another world in more ways than one, right? But that's what we're supposed to be, in another world. We're in another world, not in this world. The third thing is obedience. The next test. The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't tell me that you love him and don't keep his commandments. That's pretty plain. Right? I didn't like English when I took English. But I know enough to say, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's that mean? If you love him, keep his commandments. That's what it means, right? If we don't love him, don't keep his commandments. That's what it says right there. So we see the test there. We are separated. We are surrendered and obedient. The third thing we see, his power. See, in Acts 1, it said in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And down in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That tells us right there, the third mark of the kingdom is power from God. This is where it even shakes you up. It's like, it's great. The first thing that's going to happen is like this. The first thing that's going to happen is God's going to do something in your life. Nobody else is going to see it, but you're going to know. And you're going to say, wow, man, God has... When I first got saved, I remember, Friday night, when you first get saved, and Friday night is the night that, you used to rip and run from Friday to Sunday, and then we went to work on Monday. But I got saved. I got saved on Thursday night. But it was some months maybe later on. It was in the fall. Well, it might have been the same thing. I probably got saved in August. It was probably in October. Because I remember it was bow season. I was going to go to the cabin and go deer hunting. But they had a revival, went on all week, and it was Friday night. And so I packed all my rags up, and we went down there. And Dee was coming. We were going to go down there and go, or I was going to go meet him at the cabin. But it was Friday night, man. And after the revival on Friday night, after the meeting, they had a dinner. We had a dinner downstairs, and I was going to go to that and all, and I was just going to leave. It took about an hour and a half to get to where I was going to. But I remember sitting there just distinct as all get out. I could take you right to the spot. I was sitting on the table there, man. I looked good. I had my white shirt on, tie, sitting over there with the pastor and the evangelist, John Long was his name. I like to sit there and listen to them guys, talk to them guys. And I remember this thought just came in my mind. I said, man, it's Friday night, and you're sitting here in church at a church dinner after a revival meeting, and you're having a good time. I was enjoying it. I was like, happy. And it was like when it hit me, that there was this transformation taking place in my life. And then what happens is the people on the outside start seeing the kingdom of God has come. They start seeing something. They say, well, I don't know what's wrong with him, but I can't explain it, but he's different. They don't know. And that's what's happened. So the first thing you see, you're going to realize it. The second thing, somebody else is going to realize it. Power from God. Listen, when Adam fell, the Spirit of God was lost to men. It was lost to men as a permanent possession. And Jesus went to the cross, broke the power of sin, and by his resurrection won the new life, and the Spirit was sent to take possession of the whole heart. And nothing less than this power will do for the kingdom of God. You can't do it in your own strength. You can't do it in your own strength. It's only through this power that God can accomplish his purpose through weak and feeble men. We don't possess the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit possesses us. That's how it works. That's how it really works. If we're saved. If we're really saved. The believers in the kingdom have unceasing dependence, unceasing prayer, and confident expectation that God's going to do something. Think about the apostles before Pentecost. Now, they lived with Jesus every day. This is after Jesus had called them to follow him. And they went around with him every day, and they ate with him, and they heard him pray, and they probably all slept around in the same building or together all the time as they went around. They saw all the power that he had, and even as apostles, later on, the apostles, they had the power from the Lord. But when these guys walked around with Jesus before Pentecost, I mean, they were influenced greatly. And they had certain authority from the Lord. But boy, it was different after Pentecost. I mean, once God empowered them, I mean, these guys, all of a sudden, when they were filled with the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, man, they just started, Peter, he didn't, when before Pentecost, that little maid said, oh, hey, there's one of the disciples. He's one of them. No, 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 I'm not one of them. And, you know, he cursed even. No, he started, they said, yeah, your speech is betraying you. So he cursed so he'd sound like the world. Isn't that a lesson in reverse about separation, right? He cursed so he'd sound like the world. That's what he wanted to fit in. But after the day of Pentecost, and all of them, I mean, most of them fled, right? I mean, when Jesus was on the cross, I think John was hanging around. Peter was afar off, and most of the rest of them had done scattered off somewhere. They began to speak on the mighty things that Jesus had done. I mean, they started preaching Jesus Christ on the day of Pentecost. They were speaking in another tongue, or tongues that at least they were heard. Every man heard what they said in their own language, actually, what happened on the day of Pentecost. Everybody heard that. They didn't have any diplomas. They didn't have a commission from the apostles. They didn't have any special training or classes or anything. They just spoke from the heart the power of Jesus Christ. That's what happened. I mean, they became witnesses. I missed a point from you there, Eileen. Yeah, there you go. They became witnesses. That's the fourth mark of the kingdom. Witnesses. Who told them? I mean, we got this right here. He said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. Really, you know, we look at that. We do have the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach. But right there, it really wasn't a commission. He just said this was going to happen. You look in the Bible, how many people that had an encounter with Jesus Christ? There was even a couple guys when Jesus said, listen, don't say anything to anybody about this. They couldn't keep their mouths shut. If there was ever a place in the Bible where it was okay to disobey the Lord, I mean, he didn't rebuke them. He didn't chasten them. He told them not to say, and they just couldn't keep their mouths shut. I can see it, man. They were just running, man. I mean, it was just like, man, I got to tell you what Jesus did. Now we've got the Holy Spirit of God. We've got the Church of God. We got the Great Commission to go in all the world and preach the gospel, and hardly anybody will say anything about him, man. You got to be a drug and beat to death and forced and guilted into, shamed into witnessing for Jesus. You know what? There's something different right there. I mean, here are these guys, man. Here they were testifying of his love, his power, his presence, his desire to work in their lives. And the Bible says, you know, we're called to be living proof and witnesses of what Jesus can do. That's what it is. See, you don't have to know the whole Bible A to Z. You know what you got to know? You got to know what Jesus did for you. Because this right here, you're talking to a lost person that's not going to understand this anyway because they're spiritually discerned. But they do understand what they see in your life. And you start telling somebody, listen, you know, this is the difference it made in my life. I remember talking to some ladies years ago. They were church members, too, around here, just some, you know, some church. But I was talking to them, a little bleacher preaching, Kyle or Danielle, one was playing ball. And this one lady was saying, she goes, you make it sound so real. I said, it's because it is real. I mean, here's a church member I'm talking to, right? I said, you make it sound so real. I said, it is real. Where you been? They didn't get it. They just didn't get that, man. I said, it's a real thing. And the first time, I remember when I first got saved, man, I didn't know nothing hardly. And the pastor, they were real big on visitation, man. Thursday night visitation, get a bunch of people out and go out and visit. I was scared to death. I went with three of us. We went in threes, man. And so three of us went. And I just, this is my thinking, honestly. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm just going to go in there and sit down and just let somebody else do the talking because I don't know what I'm talking about anyway. And, man, we got in there, and the next thing you know, I'm doing all the talking. I know it's hard for you to believe. I'm doing all the talking. Step aside, son. And I remember talking, and my mouth was moving. My jaw was going up and down, and words were coming out of my mouth. And I remember while I'm talking to them thinking, where in the world is this coming from? I didn't know what to say. They were fixed on me. I was telling them just what I knew, you know, what God had done, man. I mean, and then I read the verse where Jesus said he put the words in your mouth. I said, hey, it makes sense, doesn't it? It all come around. Witnesses, man. Here these guys were, like I said, they didn't have diplomas, no educated, no classes, no training, but they spoke from the heart and power of Jesus Christ. And guess what? In that day, you can read two times. One day, 3,000 people was added to the church in one day. It wasn't because they had a promotional event, a bucket of chicken and a bunch of hot dogs that was good, and they got a bunch of people to come, and whoever preached a real good message, and 3,000 people. No, they had already talked to them all around the community. These people talked to these people all around. Why? Because they couldn't help it. They had a transformed life, and they started talking to people around the community, and people said, man, I don't know what's going on there. I'm going to go there and find out. And, man, they all came down. At 3,000 in a day and 5,000 in another day, people were saved. Man, that's the power. That's what church is supposed to be right there. That's the power of the church right there. This is the secret of a flourishing church. That's the secret of it. Christ is on the throne. We've got the subjects are separated, empowered, and are living witnesses of the transforming power of Jesus Christ. And when you go out and you just can't keep quiet and something's going on and it's so real to you in your heart and you're so excited about it in your heart. You know, when somebody gets excited about something, you don't even know what it's about. It's just like, you know, somebody can be over there really be excited talking in a big group of people and you just say, I got to go find out what it is. And you go over there and see what it is. And I don't care what they're talking about, man. They could be selling you a bag of sand if they're excited about it. You know, if you're not excited about it, right? You can't, you know, how is anybody else going to get excited about it? And what happens? And people just say, man, of course, if you're filled with the Spirit of God, you're filled with the love of God. I mean, the love of God is bubbling out on into other people and into other lives. And that's the secret. They couldn't keep quiet to save their lives, literally. They couldn't keep quiet. We're going to burn you at the stake. Don't matter. We're going to nail you to it. It doesn't matter. Huh? We're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. It doesn't matter. I can't keep quiet. I can't do it. They couldn't do it. And so, that's the secret. And then the fifth mark of this kingdom is going out into the world, the whole world. Witnesses, yep, witnesses, what the Bible says, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, there's the steps. Going out into the whole world. Think about this. Jesus hung on a cross, dying on a cross. All his disciples had scattered. Deserted him. He looked like a failure. How could anybody think that his dominion would reach to the ends of the earth? But in verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that. The Holy Ghost come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth. There is the commission. Receiving power, filled with Jesus himself. You know the old thing, what would Jesus do? I'll tell you what Jesus would do. He'd be out witnessing. He'd be out trying to win people to himself. He'd be talking to that woman at the well. He'd be talking to, you know, you don't have to get up on a soapbox and preach the word. You can just get in there and talk to somebody. He just went down there and talked to that woman at the well. He just talked to somebody on the side of the road. He saw Zacchaeus, said, man, I'm going to come to your house for lunch. You know, he talked to him at wherever. That's what he did. Doing the same work that Jesus did. The same thing. This is what the kingdom of God is like. And then the last point is waiting, and we see it in verse Acts 1:14, say, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brother. Right there. They were told to wait. They hadn't received the Holy Spirit yet. They were waiting for that promise, the promise of the Father. But the thing I want you to see is that they were united in prayer. This is what they were praying about. We don't have to wait for that promise of the Holy Spirit. Today, because of the way everything works out today, when a person gets saved, really gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes into their heart. Now, that's just the way it is. We don't have to wait for that. But we need to wait in prayer, whatever that may be. Now, some people, that's all they do is wait. We already got a commission what to do along the way. Now, not that we don't pray in dependence of Jesus. We pray in that. And it's the secret, though, of the storehouse of power is prayer. This is it right here. I mean real prayer. That old mealy mouth, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my... That ain't getting it done, folks. I mean, man, when you get down there, man, you just talk to God and say, God, man. And you know what I talk to God about the most? That's what I talk to God about. I said, God, I can't do it. I just can't. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have my desire. I don't have it of myself. I don't have the strength to do it. I don't have the words to say. How'd you like to have to come up with what to preach to y'all every week? Huh? How'd you like to have to come up with something every week? I gotta preach tonight, and I gotta preach this today, and then I gotta do Wednesday night. How'd you like to do that? Huh? You know what? There's sometimes, honestly, I just sit down and say, Lord, I have nothing. I have nothing. I don't know what. It's just like I might as well just take the Bible, flip the pages, and all right, right there, I'm gonna preach right now. I mean, that's just how you feel sometimes. I mean, mostly my fault, by the way. But you know what? You just gotta. When you get down there, you gotta do some serious praying when it's like that. You know, we gotta pray. Say, God, we don't have the power. We don't have the strength to do it. What are we gonna do? Wisdom, all those things right there. These people, they waited 10 days for the Holy Spirit. 10 days in prayer. 10 days of prayer. Man, like we got one prayer meeting a week, and you can't get the church filled up for that. waiting on the Holy Spirit. I bet you that was a meeting. I bet you I'd like to have been in that meeting right there. Man, Jesus had just resurrected. They didn't know what was coming. He said, man, I want you to wait on the promise. And I don't know what they thought it was waiting on, but they knew it was going to be something good. And man, you imagine being in that meeting and God poured His Spirit out. I'd like to have that anticipation when we come to church on Sunday. Man, I'd like to come in. We all come in here and say, man, God's going to do something today. Huh? God's going to do something. Just think if we were ready for that. We prayed about it. How many of you prayed that God's going to do something today? Some weak hands going up. You pray that God's going to do something today. You know, this day, like right now, like when we preaching and singing and worshiping God, I believe our singing would be just a little bit, you know, better. We'd be a little more excited. They were united to each other in love. They were devoted to Christ in undivided consecration. Their prayers were not confined to self-interest or self-request or selfish request. You know what they prayed? God's will is going to be done. What do you think God's will is? What do you think? Like right now, this day that we're living in, got war going on in Ukraine. We got COVID business. Hopefully we're on the tail end of it. We've got political whatever. Gas, man, I went to gas station the other day, $92 it cost me, and it wasn't on E either. Wait, take a love offering up one more time. I mean, you know, the economy. What do you think? But what do you think God's will is for this day, right now? And who do you think God's going to get His will done through? The government? The school? Huh? Who's He going to do it through? His subjects. See, that's why you have to be surrendered. You have to be surrendered to God. And then we have to pray to God. Everything goes together. Praying for God's will to be done. The kingdom of God is in the heart of every believer. I'm done. I'm about to close. Listen to me right here. The kingdom of God is in the heart of every believer. Everybody that's saved. This is where the kingdom of God is. The evidence. This is important. Jesus is on the throne of your heart. And that's just not in words. When Jesus is on the throne of your heart, that means He's ruling. He's overruling. That would be your will. He's reigning. That means He calls the shots. Jesus is on the throne of your heart. The second thing is we are His subjects. That means we are surrendered to Him and we are separated from the world to Him. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit. I know that it can get kind of up and down in that area right there. Sometimes we feel more of the Holy Spirit than we do at other times. I know that. But we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we are witnesses to the world. He said, ye shall be. Not maybe, not perhaps, might, some of you. Ye shall be witnesses to the world, witnessing, and then waiting on the Lord, of course, is witnessing and witnessing to the world, and waiting on the Lord in prayer, effectual, fervent prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Is the kingdom of God in your heart? That's the question. I'm going to tell you today, it can be. If it's not there, it can be. When all you do is you call on Jesus. Listen, He is the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't make Him Lord, He's already Lord. You accept Him that way or you don't accept Him at all. He's the Lord. Is He the Lord of your life? That's the question today. Paul, come and